ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैप्टर भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर नंबर 11, The Universal Form, text number 1 and 2. Number 1 doesn't have purport, or it has purport. Oh, sorry, number 3 and 4.
Yes, yesterday, last
10th chapter. Mm-hmm. I was told 3 and 4. Because 3, okay. Anyway, she told me something that one doesn't have a purpose, but it does have a purpose. Both have purpose. Anyway, number 1 and 2. Arjuna Vacha. मद अनुग्रहाय परमं गुह्यं अध्यात्म संमितं यत् त्वया उक्तं वचः तेन मोह अयं विगतः मम। अर्जुन उवाच मदनुग्रहाय परमं गुह्यं अध्यात्मसंगीतं यत्त्वयोक्तं वचस्तेन मोहोऽयं विगतो मम। अर्जुन उवाच मदनुग्रहाय परमं गुह्यं अध्यात्मसंगीतं यत्त्वयोक्तं वचस्तेन मोहोऽयं विगतो मम। अर्जुन उवाच अर्जुन सेड मद अनुग्रहाय जस्ट टू शो मी फेवर परमं सुप्रीम गुह्यं कॉन्फिडेंशियल सब्जेक्ट अध्यात्म स्पिरिचुअल संनीतं इन द मैटर ऑफ यत् व्हाट त्वया बाय यू उक्तं सेड वचः वर्ड्स तेन बाय दैट मोह इल्यूशन आई एम दिस विगतः इज रिमूव्ड मम माय। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna said, by my hearing the instructions you have kindly given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been dispelled. This chapter reveals Krishna as the cause of all causes. He is even the cause of Mahavishnu, from whom the material universe is emanate. Krishna is not an incarnation. He is the source of all incarnations. That has been completely explained in last chapter. Now, as far as Arjuna is concerned, he says that his illusion is over. This means that Arjuna no longer thinks Krishna as a mere human being, as a friend of his, but as the source of everything. Arjuna is very enlightened and is glad that he has such a great friend as Krishna. But now he is thinking that Although he may accept Krishna as the source of everything, others may not. So in order to establish Krishna's divinity for all, he is requesting Krishna in this chapter to show his universal form. Actually, when one sees the universal form of Krishna, one becomes frightened, like Arjuna. But Krishna is so kind that after showing it, he converts himself again into his original form. Arjuna agrees to what Krishna has several times said. Krishna is speaking to him just for his benefit. So Arjuna acknowledges that all this is happening to him by Krishna's grace. He is now convinced that Krishna is the cause of all causes and is present in everyone's heart as Super Soul. Text number 2. Bhavapyavau hi bhutanam srutau vistarasho maya tvatah kamalapatraksha mahatmyam api chavyayam. Bhava means appearance, apyayau means disappearance. He certainly, bhutanam, of all living entities, srutau, have been heard, vistarashah, in detail, maya, by me, tvatah, from you, kamalapatraksha, O lotus-eyed one, mahatmyam, glories, api, also, cha, and avyayam, inexhaustible. Translation and purport. O lotus-eyed one, I have heard from you in details about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glories. Arjuna addresses Krishna as the lotus-eyed. Krishna's eyes appear just like the petals of a lotus flower. Out of his joy, for Krishna has assured him in previous chapter, Aham Krishnascha Jagatah Prabhavah Pralayastatha. I am the source of the appearance and disappearance of this entire material manifestation. Arjuna has heard this from the Lord in detail. Arjuna further acknowledges that in spite of his being the source of all appearances and disappearances, he is aloof from them. As the Lord has said in the 9th chapter, he is all-pervading, yet he is not personally present everywhere. That is the inconceivable opulence of Krishna, which Arjuna admits that he has thoroughly understood. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhamitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Ramastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Arjuna Vacha, Madanugrahaya Paramam Guhyam Adhyatma Sangitam, Yatvayoktam Vachastena Mohoyam Vigato Mama, Bhavapyavau Hi Bhutanam Srutau Vistarasasho Maya. ततः कमलपत्राक्ष महात्म्यम अपि चाव्ययम्। So in this first two verses, Srila Prabhupada is telling something that Arjuna is progressing in his spiritual realization. The spiritual realization emphasizes three stages of progressive development, and especially in the devotee. Because a devotee is a personalist. He is not an impersonalist. Otherwise, first stage is good enough. The second stage is of meditation. But devotee is beyond the meditation. He is dynamically, actively engaged in the loving service of Lord Krishna. So therefore, for the first time, Arjuna is admitting in this chapter, after first 10 chapters, means that much conversation. The conversation began with illusion. Now here, Arjuna is admitting that, my dear Lord, by your grace, for my own welfare, that whatever you have spoken, the confidential science about the spiritual matters, means there are different subjects, my illusion has gone. He's admitting. When one's illusion is gone, what do you think? Don't you require anything else after? When illusion is gone, one will not be bewildered. One will not be bewildered. Arjuna was bewildering in the first place. But now Arjuna is admitting that he doesn't have any more bewilderment. What do you think? Which stage Arjuna is on? A spiritual realization, which stage Arjuna is?
On third stage, on reality. At the stage of reality.
Reality. Hello?
He's realized the personal aspect because he understands Krishna as the Supreme Personality. So he's realized Bhagavan as well as Paramatma.
Understanding. He is speaking with an understanding now. That I appreciate whatever you have told me, I understand it thoroughly. And by understanding, my moha illusion has gone. Right? This is the stage of understanding. See, let's try to see progressively how Lord Shri Krishna is tackling the problem of illusion. Arjuna was bewildered. He was unable to fight. He was overcome with the grief of imminent danger for his kinsmen who he was attached to. Right? So, he said, I will not fight. And he was so much despondent that Krishna as a friend was simply talking, Arjun, you should not become despondent at this time of emergency. Come on, get up. You know. Then he was arguing. You tell me, how can I fight? And I'm confused. More I'm thinking, more I'm getting confused. You are my friend, help me. I have nobody else to turn to, but you are my friend. But I know this is very deep situation which I have fallen into, and I know that I need a guru, a guide. But you are my friend and well-wisher. You know, you have helped me before too. Therefore, who do I turn to but you? But consider me as your surrendered, so devoted to you, but as a student. Shishyaste aham tvam sadhimaham prapannam, tvam prapannam. I am taking your shelter as a student. So when the study begins, Krishna never emphasized anything about Him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, He tackled the issue of His illusion in a very methodic way, analytical way. He did not expose Him anything about His shelter. If one comes to take your shelter, you should know what is the purpose of taking the shelter. What is, or why he is taking shelter? One should know. So, let's see progressively. In the analytical study called Sankhya Yoga, which was described by Krishna in the second chapter, as starting giving his advice, he said, Arjuna was afraid from the sin by committing ghastly warfare. But Krishna is telling, oh, you will not be occurring sin. For the bodies which are going to be perished anyway. But if you fight for the sake of fight without considering the victory or loss, then you will not occur any sin. Right? Now, he's trying to give him understanding, because such actions will not entangle you more. Right now you are entangled of your actions, your attachments. Right? So now you will not. But how to act in the sense of detachment? Krishna never advises not to act. But Krishna advises him to act without the thought of fruitive results. And therefore, detachment will come. But how and where the fruitive results should be guided? That he is trying to tell. So, knowledge is required. Knowledge is required. So he says, if you fulfill your varnasham duties as a fighter, you know, you are a kshatriya, you are supposed to fight without anticipation of the fruits of the result, right? You will not occur sin, but without fruitive results, if you fight, that will liberate you. Means there will not be bondage, means it will liberate you. If there is no bondage, liberation is anticipated. Then, this kind of activity must be guided by intelligence rather than the mind which desires attachment. So therefore, you should sharpen your intelligence and try to make your mind detached and thereby gaining equipoised situation, that you will not become overjoyed when you become victorious, and you will not become sorrow if you lose it. So you should achieve by guidance of intelligence, you should achieve equipoised situation. So those who are sense gratifiers, naturally they will resort to such instructions given in Vedas, but only in the form of flowery language, but without knowing the purpose, that why one should become liberated. So Krishna is trying to push him up and up now. The performance of activity should not become the object of your negativity. Means you should not become despondent by not doing work. You will be able to work because you will be forced to work. You cannot negate the work. But use that intelligence for making yourself into equipoise situation by act in such consciousness that will always keep you liberated, means that will be called yogastha kuru karmani sanga tyaktva dhananjaya. For the sake of making your position between the loss and gain equal. That is called yoga. Alright? So, yoga means connection. Krishna is not telling yet where will you connect. But this intelligence which is helping you to make yourself equipoised is the real intelligence, and it will help you to develop that kind of firm conviction. Conviction. A convicted intelligence is called dhriti. That is very firm. And this will be your guiding, this intelligence, this will be your guiding principle. So it develops that consciousness. Your consciousness, an intelligent person's consciousness, is geared on a firm, determined intelligence to make equipoised, you know, that will disentangle. So then he says, in the 46th verse, he is telling that by achieving this kind of very steady, liberated situation, you will be able to know the purpose of the Vedas, which is called Brahman. Means something which is supreme, divine. Then it becomes a position. So he says that Padam, Brahmam, and then Padam. Padam means the position. You will be achieving that higher position. And then, for the first time, in the 51st verse of the second chapter, he says that in this way, not only you will be able to control the senses, but also the mind, but also when you are totally fixed, and that consciousness which is taking you to achieve the desired goal of the Vedas, which is called Brahman, you know, the highest position for the soul, that is supposed to be that one has to fix that consciousness on him. Krishna declares in the second chapter in this way, taking completely a neutral position, he could have told, just surrender to me and I'll resolve everything. But no, Arjun had confusion, and the confusion is removed in all these different levels. So no more question need to be asked. Then he gives detail about Krishna conscious activities and how we how all remains completely free. But this is the first and foremost. What is consciousness? Consciousness is the guiding principle. It's awareness, but awareness by conviction. And conviction means detachment is the most important aspect. You know. So, Krishna consciousness is fundamentally a very perfect process that makes us easily detached. And that detachment, anything that allows us to keep detached is Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada uses Krishna consciousness words is very, very frequently used word. Just think about Krishna, but why? Because it will help us to detach and we'll become equipoised and we'll be able to do the duty of the soul. And that guiding principle, that is intelligence, that develops this consciousness is very, very important. Therefore, Prabhupada says, the devotees are highest intelligent person. The most intelligent people on the planet Earth are those who are Krishna conscious. Those who live the life of Krishna consciousness. So, in this way, for the first time in the 51st verse, Krishna is telling that this equanimity is called real yoga, and intelligence that guides us towards the detachment is what allows us determination, dhriti, and that helps us to become sthita pragya. And the symptoms are there, how a Krishna conscious person will sit, walk, talk, right? These are confirmed in the second chapter. And after controlling senses under intelligence, full control, when he fixes his consciousness upon me for the first time, he says, is known as a man of steady intelligence. Unless and until one's intelligence is fixed on Krishna, he will never become steady intelligence. Sthita pragya. So, in this way, he is indicating that Arjun, it is me who is in the center. So, for anything that we do, we have to dovetail towards him. Why Krishna? People say, why Krishna? Why not others? So, in this way, Arjuna is gaining knowledge about why Krishna is this one. Srila Prabhupada says in this 11th chapter, Krishna is proving himself and Arjuna is accepting. Arjuna accepted by proper understanding by all these equivocal arguments of Krishna and explanations that he gave. He admitted that if everybody is indicating you and you are telling me, I must accept it as factual knowledge. Factual knowledge. Sarvameta dhritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava. In the 10th chapter. Param brahma param dhamam pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam adi devam ajam vibham. Ahustvam rushaya sarvadevarsi naradasatha asito devalo vyasu swayam chaiva pravishime. Sarvameta dhritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava. Nahite bhagavan vyakti vidur devan dhanu. This is a pre-admittance. Arjuna understood. And therefore he admits that now my illusion is gone. But Krishna has to tell him more. Because this is the most confidential knowledge. This is confidential knowledge. But there will be more confidential knowledge. Then there will be most confidential knowledge. And that was indicated in the 9th chapter. Prabhupada, you know, tells Rajavidya Rajaguhyam. Rajaguhyam means most confidential knowledge. But Krishna wants to reconfirm whether he got it through thoroughly or not. So therefore, he vividly describes the chapters of Bhakti Yoga after 12th chapter starts. 12 to 18, pure devotion, nothing but. So when he establishes his supremacy as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is the source of everything, from him everything emanates, and one who understands this way, then he is called intelligent person. Krishna has to work hard to just dispel the doubts of Arjuna, because that system is very, very important. So these chapters of Bhagavad Gita are bringing Arjuna to the point of what? Understanding. Now the next point is coming that he wants to see. He wants to see. Understanding is still impersonal. I accept this, that, but if I don't see you in what you say, then? So in this chapter, Vishwarupa, the universal form of the Lord will be shown for showing how everything has been manifesting from him. Srila Prabhupada says that in this chapter, all this that Krishna, the cause of all causes, has been revealed, and he is also the cause of Mahavishnu, from whom the universes emanate. Krishna is not an incarnation. He is the source of all incarnation, and that has been completely explained in the last chapter. Aham sarvasya prabho matta swaram parvata deiti matva vajante mambudha bhava samanvita. And now, as far as Arjuna is concerned, he says that his illusion is over. This means that Arjuna no longer thinks of Krishna as a mere human being, as a friend of his, but as the source of everything. Krishna is very enlightened. Arjuna is very enlightened and is glad that he has such a great friend as Krishna. But now he is thinking that although he may accept Krishna as the source of everything, others may not. Right? So in order to establish Krishna's divinity for all, he is requesting Krishna in this chapter to show his universal form. Actually, when one sees the universal form of Krishna, one becomes frightened. Understanding is one thing, seeing is something else. And when you see such gigantic form, you will be frightened. Why frightened? Because your ego of individuality, even though you are small, it will be disturbed. It will be disturbed. He is such a great and you are nobody. So gigantic form will make us, you know, like puny insect. Naturally fear will come. Instead of fearing, if one takes shelter, then fear is no more there. But because of the individuality is there and false ego may stick. Therefore, impersonalists fear in trying to see the form. They negate by little fund of intelligence that they have. They negate. They can't escape the form. Even though this is material form, why Arjuna is asking him, first he asked him to describe how he has to think of him in material manifestations. Because these manifestations are the manifestations of his energies. The material energies are manifesting. But he is asking that even the material, so material, we are used to just simply see material forms. And because these are manifested material energies, there must be the supreme form of material manifestations. That is called Virat Rupa, which will include everything. The entire creation. All the expansions of Krishna, they are subordinate expansions. They will be also seen simultaneously embedded in his form. But Prabhupada said that this chapter will also reveal the original form of Lord Krishna is two-handed. Shyamam Tripanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasha Govindam Adipurushottam. Because that will be the revealed. So if we want to see the form, why we have to see only one form of Lord Shri Krishna? Because we will be afraid, why should we worship him? Do you think, can you worship something of fearful nature? To worship a ghastly form is fearful. Material nature in the form of Mahakali, she is fierce. But there are demons who want to worship her. And they are not fearful of her. You know? We say that they may not be, but they are actually very, very fearful. They can't displease Kali. So they want to become agent to destroy the lives and make them offering to appease Kali, because that is not the way to please Kali. Yet they resort, because they are in mode of ignorance. They don't know anything else to offer but their nefarious activity of killing others, innocent enemies, as an offering to Kali. But Kali is fearful. We see in case of Jada Bharat, Kali chopped up the head of her devotees instead of killing Jada Bharat, because she is subservient to Lord Shri Krishna and she is the protector of the devotees, Lord Krishna's devotees. So why should she kill pure devotee? And Jada Bharat was completely undisturbed in front of Kali. Krishna can show more fearful nature than Kali, like Lord Narasimhadev. Right? Yet Prahlad was fearless. You know. So by seeing this universal form, even Arjun is terrified, because it's material in nature. So whatever the remnants of our bodily conception, if it is still hanging around, you know, naturally it will terrify us. But Arjun was terrified because he was unable to relate to this particular form. He didn't have any loving relationship. That's why. But nonetheless, you know, this universal form brought him to his senses that what he considered Lord Krishna as his friend is not an ordinary human being. So, he is not using only flowery language, but he is coming to the point of some realizations. Right? The realizations are necessary when you understand. But if you don't realize, that is not enough. Realization should bring us to the... understanding should bring us to the point of realization. Jnana vijnana sita. Not only theoretical knowledge, but practical knowledge, and that will make us realize. That is called prajnana brahma. That is the absolute nature of the realization. But here is the person. When material energies are manifested, that form can be manifested in one place. Right? And the 10th chapter and before that, even in the 7th, so many opulences of the Lord which were manifested from the material energy were discussed. Arjun wanted to know. But Krishna could only enumerate only primary and only few. And he culminated his statement that what is the use to know all these opulences? There's no end to my manifested opulences. You should understand that all that has been materially manifested is simply by the fragment of my one portion of being. Vishtabhyam aham krishnam ekansena jagatosthita. So, seeing Lord Shri Krishna face to face in the material form was terrifying. But that terrifying experience of Arjuna was due to not being related with that form. He saw that I am missing a loving exchange here of my friend. But nonetheless, he was convinced of his supremacy, his majestic cause of all causes. He was majestic. He is the cause of all causes. So he was so much aware that he begged his forgiveness of his misbehavior. This is real Vaishnavism. As if, you know, Arjuna offended his friend, who is so much, you know, magnanimous and divine in nature. The divine qualities in the devotees make them Vaishnava. But these qualities are developed by the spiritual energy of the Lord, which is received from chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. But Krishna finally accepts Arjuna's request to come back in the natural transaction of his friend. So, the chapter should not end there. The whole Bhagavad Gita should not end there, because the science of devotional service is yet to be rendered, and how it is practically being performed, and you know, the medium of performance is kshetra, means the field of activity, that is the body, and the soul's functionality in the body. Everything has to be, you know, explained to him as a matter of devotion. How does Krishna accept our sentient feelings in the devotion to him? That has been revealed to him. So Krishna speaks out so many things just out of love for his friend and all of his parts and parcels alike. So Krishna's glories are inexhaustible, and Arjuna is admitting. Anybody has any questions?
Maharaj, you told that unless and until one's intelligence is fixed on Krishna, it cannot be study intelligence.
Yep.
So how can we fix our intelligence?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Always. When you chant Hare Krishna, don't think of anything but Krishna. Easy, isn't it? Try your luck, Prabhu. That's why you are here.
Yes, in your form, the spiritual form also there. In your form, only Material form is there or there is
only material form?
No spiritual form.
No spiritual. Because whoever is involved in manifestation of the material cosmic manifestation, all these personalities are included. They are all included. They were Krishna's own expansions, like Mahavishnu, all the three Vishnus. The devatas and others are his empowered jivas. They are also embedded because they are the functionary aspect on behalf of the Lord. When something is created, it is meant for function.
Yes, you have said just that there are three forms of Vishnu, but what about Narayan?
Narayan is the word generally used in Vaikuntha section.
He is also called Vishnu.
Yes, but and for the manifestation of material nature, the first Purushavatar is Karanodakshaya Vishnu. What is the difference between Narayan and Vishnu? Nothing. Right? But in Vaikuntha planets, which Vishnu resides? No Vishnu resides there. Only Narayan resides. Lakshmi Narayan. There is no Lakshmi Vishnu. Vishnu has three specific forms. They are involved in the creation of material universes. First is Karnodakshaya Vishnu. And second is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And third is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And they don't have any place in Vaikuntha, but their place itself is called Svetadvipa. The location of Svetadvipa are also there. There are so many Svetadvipa locations in the Vaikuntha.
What is the function of Narayan? Is he not connected with the manifestation of material energy?
You may call, there is no difference between, but the word generally is used in Vaikuntha planets, which is the most liberated aspect. You know? But there are how many Vaikuntha planets? These three Vishnus are only named in the matter of creation of the material universes. Right? Now, there is Narayan, okay. But these Narayans are also expansions of Sankarsha. They are in charge of each and every Vaikuntha planet, not Svetadvipa. Vaikuntha planets. And they are named there. These Narayans are named. One is called... Have you seen the first page? I mean, cover jacket cover of the first, you know, first canto? There it is shown that each and every Vaikuntha planet has a different Narayan who is named. One is called Govinda, another is called Janardhan, third one is called Achyuta. So many. How many thousands of names Lord Krishna has? But they do not take part in the creation. Only one, from one Vaikuntha planet, out of all the Vaikuntha planets, one. And that also secondary expansion of Sankarsan takes charge as first Purushavatar. That's given in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's called Mahavishnu or Karmadakshaya Vishnu. So you can imagine our cosmic manifestation, material manifestation, is nothing but 1/4 of total creation. So who is controlling the 3/4? And out of all the 3/4 of Vaikuntha planets, the topmost is called Golok Vrindavan. There only Krishna resides, no Narayan business. No Lakshmi, only Radharani. And who are his direct, you know, avatars like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He has one chamber in Golok Vrindavan, and Ayodhya is a second chamber. We don't know the third one.
Krishna says that I live in Vaikuntha in the four-headed form.
That's all right. He leaves. You may have your own office besides the house, and when you go, I live in my office. What's wrong in that?
What does he do in his office?
Oh yeah, so much work.
What type of work?
Everything, you imagine.
It means Narayan is controlling all the three Vishnus.
Narayan has specific Lakshmi Narayan Seva, and he gives liberation to all the living entities in four muktis. So they are there and they are serving in his kingdom. Most of the devotees are Sakam devotees and they go to Vaikuntha. Only Nishkam devotees go to Golok Vrindavan, Dasubhava, serving Lord Shri Krishna. Where do you want to go? It is said that material manifestation has been created by secondary Sankarshan, who lives in that one particular universe as Vasudeva Sankarshan Pradyumna. Out of the four, he comes, he expands himself. Everybody do not expand. There is no necessity for them. And they have their own variegated activities, all in opulence, predominance, no love. And love is there, but it's in Shantarasa. They are not brothers, means no friends with Narayan, no conjugal, because Lakshmi is there. Forget it. Many a times people say that those who have attained this liberation, suppose they want to go back home, back to Godhead, to Golok Vrindavan, then what happens? They better come down the holy earth, take birth and Suchinam Srimatam Gehe, and learn how to perform pure devotional service without any motivation. And that too with the help of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sankirtan. No other way.
Sir, when one devotee has darshan of Vishnu, which Vishnu gives darshan?
The fourth one. The Kshirudakshaya Vishnu, who is sitting as Paramatma in your heart, he gives the darshan. And he is standing with Sankha Chakra Gada Padma on the lotus. Only he gives. And only the yogis also meditate on that Vishnu, because he is sitting as Paramatma in everyone's heart. That's number three. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.